Good morning again, everybody. This morning we have a guest speaker in with us from, I am tongue-tied, Liberty Clondalkin is where you're based, Jay, isn't it? His name is Jason. Rob is in bed, really, really sick this morning, so if you keep him in your prayers. Before we talk about that, actually, we're going to let the children go and get sign language up. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Lord God, we just thank you for our children, Lord God, and we ask you to bless them as they go out to Sunday school this morning. And Lord God, that your word that's being imparted to them today, I pray that it's seeds in them that just helps them grow into mighty oaks for you, Lord God. Bless the teachers as well. Amen. So I'm going to introduce our guest speaker. Jay, if you want to come up. This is Jason. I was just saying, Rob is really, really sick. Rob is really sick at home. And if you think of him, if you keep him in your prayers. But during the night, he was up and he was downloading sermons that we could play on the screen and stuff. And my dad got in touch with us and said, Jay, you can come out and speak to us. And the Lord has put a word on Jay's heart. And not to put nerves on him or not to, but like it is a last minute thing apart from the Lord speaking to him, and it's a last minute thing for him to be here. So again, let's just give it up to him. Give it up for him. It's a great word in season. Amen.
Amen. Can you hear me, yeah? Great to see us all here. Full house this morning. All big smiles on your face. Isn't it great what the sun does? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I was asked to come out and speak this morning, and I've been asking the Lord what to speak about, and as I was thinking about it, I was reminded, Suzette's dad said something to me one time, Stephen Mons, you probably know him, and we can all know God as different things at different times and at certain times, but he said to me that when he had his first encounter with God, he knew God as healer before he knew him as saviour. And to me, it was the opposite way around. And some people, have an encounter with the love of God. I know everything in God comes from his love. But I knew God as Savior first and then as healer. And just to give a little bit, some of you might know me. I know a lot of people know me. But just before I speak, I just want to give a little bit of a background on to where I came from and who I am. My name is Jason O'Sullivan. My wife has gone missing, Adele. She's there somewhere. She's gone inside. Right, I'm married to Adele. And 4.5 years ago, Jesus radically saved me and touched my life in a big way. So much so that I was addicted to heroin and crack for over 20 years. And I was on all sorts of drugs. I was on methadone for over 20 years. I'd done absolutely everything in my power to get off drugs, and I couldn't do it. I travelled all over the world, going to different clinics. I've been to every psychiatrist and every doctor in Ireland. Tried to get off drugs, even to the fact that I was getting implants in my body to stop me from taking heroin and drugs. That still didn't work. I would have had a lot of money in my life from stuff I was involved in. And it all boiled down to this, that I was trying to meet a need and fulfill a hole that was within me that it couldn't be filled. And there was only one person that could fill that. And I was going to come in and have an encounter with that person on December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 2010. And when I had an encounter with him, it was all over. It was all over. And today, I just want to speak to you. And I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, that Jesus is here. He's with you, and he can do absolutely anything in your life. Absolutely anything in your life. There's no one in here that has a problem too big that Jesus can't handle. There's nobody. I don't care what. I don't know. You might say, but you don't know what I'm going through, Jay. No, I don't. But Jesus does, and he's able to fix it. You see, the only one that can fix you is the one who created you. Bring it all back to him. Bring it all back to him. He was the one who created you. So this morning I'm going to talk about what can bring a miracle. And there's many miracles in the Bible, and I've received miracles, and I'm sure everybody here, if you look back, you've received miracles from God. If you're a sports person, this is how I remind myself. If you're a sports person or you're a business person or anything, no matter what you're into, just look up back at all the victories you've had in life and just remember what God has brought you through. Always bring it back to what Jesus has done for you. A great manager of a football team, when he's going out for a big match or he's coming up against a big opponent, he'll walk his team down through the trophy room and he'll show them all the past victories. Why? Because it releases something in them. It gives them encouragement and it gives them encouragement and it gives them faith. So this morning we're going to talk from Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And we're going to talk about a character called Bartimaeus and how he received a miracle from Jesus as he sat by the roadside begging. And there was three important aspects of his miracle. And there was three points, for want of a better word, and that's what I'm going to touch on this morning, that brought Jesus to Bartimaeus and that brought Bartimaeus' miracle to him. And three of them were, the first one was his persistence. Bartimaeus had great persistence. His second one was his obedience. And his third one was his faith. So that's his persistence, his obedience, and his faith. I'm reading from Mark chapter 10. It says this. Then Jesus came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man called Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called him. They called the blind man to him. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Just remember that. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. That's an amazing story of just one of the miracles that Jesus performed while he was here in the flesh, living on earth. And just a bit of background on that scripture. That scripture, you can imagine that Jesus was on his way to the Passover. And there would have been thousands of people going along that road where Bartimaeus was sitting. It's said, historians and theologians say that it said that there probably would have been around 100,000 Levites and priests and all other sorts of people on duty that day in order for the Passover. But it was custom for famous and well-known teachers and rabbis for to teach their pupils and their disciples on the road on the way to the Passover. So you could imagine there would have been many crowds and they would have been gathered around the rabbis and they would have been hearing what all these theologians and great religious leaders of the day had to say. But you can imagine, this was a special day because Jesus, the Son of God, the great rabbi, the great teacher, he was walking along that route. So can you imagine the crowds that was around him? The crowds that wanted to hear or get a word from him or hear what he had to say. Because Jesus was absolutely amazing with his words and he was so wise. But you could imagine the hustle and the bustle. And Bartimaeus, it's said that he could have been there 30 or 40 years. He could have been blind 30 or 40 years. But his persistence, and this is what I'm going to talk about here. His persistence turned Jesus' ear to him. Meaning this, he was told to keep quiet as Jesus walked the road with all his disciples and all the people around him. Many of the leaders would have told him to shut up and keep quiet, as it says here in the scriptures. But he wasn't letting his miracle pass him by. Bartimaeus' persistence. And the definition of persistence is continuing to do something in spite of difficulty or opposition. He had much difficulty and opposition that day. But he chose to call out to Jesus. And nothing was going to stop him. And his persistence was what got Jesus to stop in his tracks. Can you imagine the thousands of people there that day? And Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry. I believe Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry because it came from a place in his heart where, see, the scriptures tell us that when you call from your heart, Jesus hears you. Psalms 3, verse 4 tells us, I cried to the Lord with all my heart, and he heard my distress call from his holy hill. So Jesus knows that cry. He knows each and every one of your cries that's in your heart here today. And just like Bartimaeus, do not give up calling out, because Jesus will hear it and Jesus will answer it. Amen. Amen. But Bartimaeus had persistence because he was told to be quiet, and many rebuked him, but he cried out to the Lord even more. And no one was going to take from him his chance to escape his world of darkness. As a result of the procession stopping, Jesus heard his cry. In Bartimaeus' heart, he longed to meet the one person he could bring his troubles and pain to. His persistence and desperate desire to come face to face with the one he believed could heal him paid off. Jesus heard his persistent cry. Like Bartimaeus, ask Jesus specifically what you need healing for. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you go to the doctor, you tell him what's wrong with you, right? It's the same with Jesus. You ask him to heal you of what is hindering your walk with him and in life. If you go to the dentist to tell him what tooth, you tell him what tooth to pull. Thank you. You tell him what tooth to pull, the one that's causing your problems. Jesus is exactly the same. You go to Jesus, just like Bartimaeus, you go to Jesus and you tell him what is wrong, exactly what is wrong, because he wants to know every detail of your life. He wants to know what's bothering his sons and daughters. Church, if you ask, if you're hurting and you ask Jesus to heal it, he will. He will. And the thing is, he can do it and he wants to do it. Why? Because he loves you. Everything comes from love. Everything in God comes from love. He saves you, he redeems you, he delivers you. He does absolutely everything for you because he loves you. He's no agenda other than to love you. And that's what he sent his son for. I remember years ago talking about persistence. My auntie and my nanny who's passed away now, who's with the Lord, she used to pray for me. She always told me, every time I seen her, she says to me, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I used to say, yeah, right. I never thought that any prayer would do anything for me. I never thought that there was a God out there. I've heard of this God, but he was a God that lived in a building. He was a God that dwelled inside these lovely churches, and they're great. All these churches are great. But that was the God I knew. And it was a God that if I needed him, I had to go to a building. I had to go to a church to see him or to speak to him. And to me, that was no good because I was covered in guilt and shame. And I was covered in things that bound me up. And I was covered in all that stuff that stopped me from going to God. And because of what I knew about him and what I was told about him, I couldn't approach a God that I was wrapped in guilt and shame. I was told that I had to be perfect in order for it to come into God's presence. But that was all to change, as I said to you, on Christmas Eve 2010. But I remember my nanny, she used to go to Mass every morning. And I'm not saying prayers don't work and everybody has their own walk with God. But she used to say to me, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. So much so, her persistent prayers, she was praying from the time I was about 12. She died about 6 or 8 years ago. But so much so, my auntie picked up on the prayer after that. And she persisted with the prayer. And it's unbelievable. Because I remember now Kenny saying to me, Jay, keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. He says, because eventually it's like there's a bowl in heaven and it gets full of prayers and it just tips over and the Lord has to answer it. And I believe that that was one of them prayers that was answered for me, and answered for my auntie and for my nanny, because they persisted in prayer for me, for my salvation, for God to save me and for God to set me free of the life I was living in. Amen. Amen. So guys, mothers and fathers, husband and wives, whoever's sitting here, men and women, if you're praying for somebody, keep praying for them, because God is faithful and he answers prayers. You're looking at a testimony of a prayer standing before you. I really mean that. Prayer works. Prayer works. Amen. So obedience. He was obedient. Obedience. What is the meaning of obedience? Willing to do what one is told or behave in accordance with a general principle. On hearing the Lord speak, Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside and jumped to his feet. And you know, I think he done more than that. He didn't just throw his cloak to one side. I think he threw his insecurities to one side. I think he threw his fears to one side. I think he threw absolutely everything that had him bound to one side, and he heard Jesus was coming through that day, and he wasn't going to let him pass. Even though he couldn't see, he had in his mind, he made it up in his heart, that he was just going to go after the one that was coming by that day. He also threw off what people thought about him or what were saying to him. He did not hesitate for 1 minute. I think many of us hear the Lord's call and say, I'll wait till I finish this, or I'll wait till I do that. I believe that we let miracles pass by each of us all the time because of fear, insecurity, trust issues, or what people think. I think there's miracles each and every day that we let go by us. And you know, we have to seize our opportunity. When we see a miracle coming, or when we see something, you grab it with both hands. You go after it. Don't let your miracle pass you by. And I can say this to you, church. If you're looking for a miracle, don't leave here today without asking for that miracle. If this is the last thing I'll say today, do not leave this building today without asking Jesus for your miracle. Why? Because he's faithful and he loves you. Amen? Amen. Bartimaeus got his miracle. Why? Because he seized the opportunity that was before him. Before him stood the miracle giver. Before him stood the miracle giver, Jesus, the Son of God. He was obedient to the Lord's call, and those who are obedient to his call will receive what they are asking for in his name. Have you ever, and I think we've all done this, I do this, and I do it quite a lot. Sometimes we'll hear the Lord speak, and for whatever reason, we're not obedient to what he says. And we're flippant about it, and we just let it pass by. But do you ever notice that when the Lord speaks and you're obedient to what he says and you do it? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing what rises up in you and the faith that rises up in you and say, how do I let these things pass me by? How do I let them pass me by? Jesus is always out to do miracles. Always out to do miracles. He's always out to do miracles. Faith. Bartimaeus' faith. The definition of faith. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. And the other one is belief in trust in God, in his actions and his promises. Do we believe what God says in his word? Do we believe that God can heal? Do we believe that God has a miracle for me? Do you believe that God has a miracle for you? Do you believe that, church? Do you believe he has a miracle for you? I know each and every one of us here today is looking for a miracle. It might be for a family member. It might be for a spouse. It might be for a partner, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a child, someone. Do you believe God can give you that miracle, can give them that miracle? Believe it, church. He's faithful. He can do it. He can do it. Bartimaeus believed Jesus was the one who could heal him. As a result, Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received the sight and began to follow Jesus. I remember, as I said, I was on drugs for nearly 25 years. From a young age, I actually started taking drugs from where Patrice and Patrice was reared and Pastor Noel's from, and it's in the inner city in Dolphins Barn. But I remember the day, and it was only in 2010. As I said, I tried everything in order for it to get off drugs. Drugs bound my life. And because of the drugs, it got me into all sorts of problems. In and out of prison. I hurt everybody around me. And no one wanted to be around me in the end. I was a horrible person. I was just a horrible person to be around. And that's being honest with you. But I remember, even to the fact that I lost everything and I ended up in the streets of Dublin. And I remember I was only talking to Adele about a week ago. And I remember I was sitting on a step in town just off O'Connell Street. And I felt that size sitting on the step. And I looked up and I felt as if the whole world was looking down on me. That's how small and insignificant I felt. I had no confidence. I was just wrapped in guilt and shame and everything I had done. And I was hurt and broken, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And not long after that, a brother of mine gave me he's a couple of houses, and he gave me one to stay in because nobody wanted me staying with them. I brought too much trouble to the door. And this is one of the miracles that I received. I was in a room, and I was in so much hurt and pain that no veins left in my body from using drugs. I was using every part of my body to inject drugs. I was using across my eyes, my neck, my forehead. I actually got people to inject drugs in my back because I couldn't reach there. Every part of my body I used. But it came to the point where there was no veins left in my body. I was in this house belonged to my brother. They let me stay there. And I had two syringes, one with heroin and one with crack in it. And I remember I couldn't get it into my system. Couldn't find a vein to get it into my body. And I was so broken, and it was a point in my life where I didn't care whether I lived or died. But I remember that day, that evening, I can remember it clearly. There was no big faith, well, there was faith in it, but it was no big flamboyant prayer, or it was no big religious prayer. It was just a call out to God, and it went something like this. God, I need your help. But it came from my heart, and it was like that scripture I was telling you about. I cried to the Lord with all my heart, and he heard my distress call from his holy hill. That kicked off something. When I called that, when I said that prayer, that kicked off something in the heavenlies. And within 2 weeks, God had sent people into my life that had been saved. I'd been friends of mine that I'd been separated from in addiction or in prison. I was lying. About a week later, I got worse, by the way, after that. About a week later, I was lying on my mother's couch. I was on death's door. I had a broken chest bone. My two arms were broken 5 places. My 2 legs, they were going to amputate them because of drug use. They wanted me back in the hospital, but I had left the hospital because I wanted more drugs. But I was lying on the couch, and I was at death's door. And I remember a friend of mine, he walked in the door. I hadn't seen him for years. And he said to me, "Jay, you need a miracle." And I says, "I know I do." And he says, "Do you want to go somewhere?" I says, "I do." And he says, "Do you really want help this time?" I says, "I do." But what I'm trying to say to you here is that when you call out to God from your heart, he hears that call and he makes it happen. He sends people in your way. He brings people into your life. He gets you to where he wants to get you to. 2 weeks later, my dad had me in the car. He was driving me to a Christian treatment center in Drogheda. Actually, the manager of the treatment center had heard I wanted to get in, and he said, "I'm not letting him in here. There's no way am I letting him in here." He knew from me and knew from me past. But you see, when God is in it, there's nothing you can do about it. The Holy Spirit spoke to him that night and told him, he says, "Philip, you need to let him into that center." I arrived on Christmas Eve 2010 at the treatment center in Drogheda. I get out of the car. I walked up to the door. Well, when I crawled up. My legs were wrapped. My both legs were wrapped. They wanted to amputate them, as I said. I'd cast on both arms. And I had a broken chest bone. I was absolutely broken from the inside out. In my mind, was tormented. And I was physically broken as well. I was a basket case, as they'd say. I remember walking up to the door that day of the treatment centre, and I said, Lord, I don't know who you are or where you are, but here I am, what's left of me. I'm not joking you. That instant, and there's witnesses here, that instant I was saved and delivered from a drug addiction in one act, just like that. Saved and delivered from a drug addiction. I knew Jesus as Saviour first and Deliverer second. But that was a miracle that I received from Jesus. I got no detox. I was on over 100 mils of methadone for 20 years. I was on a crack and heroin habit of about £1,000 a day. And I was delivered and set free instantly that day by the power of God. So guys, I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what miracle you're after, that's only one miracle that or two miracles that Jesus has done in my life. But finishing on this, if the worship team could come back, please. If the worship team could come back, please. And finishing on this. This miracle that Bartimaeus received, it's of a special significance, because through it, Jesus teaches us what brings his power to bear on our greatest needs. Persistence, obedience, and faith. And having received his sight, Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He didn't just walk away from Jesus when his needs was met. He began with a need and then went on with gratitude. You see, Bartimaeus knew the only one that could give him what he needed was Jesus. And he wasn't going to let his miracle pass him by. The greatest thing you could ever do in your life is follow Jesus. Do you hear that, church? The greatest thing you could ever do in your life is follow Jesus. And church, today, as I said earlier on, we're going to go into a time of worship here, but I'll come back. If you have a miracle, and I know you have, everybody has miracles. Everybody needs miracles. If not you, someone you know. Don't leave this place without asking Jesus for your miracle. Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship, and I'm going to come back, and we'll see what happens then. Amen.